We do welcome you along to our Wednesday evening midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. And we're going to look at God's Word in a moment. And we're there going to engage in prayer. And we trust wherever you are tonight that you will engage in prayer for a season after the Bible study. Let us unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to Thee tonight for another Wednesday evening Bible study and season of prayer. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt meet with us tonight. And O God, that the Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. And grant, Lord, that we might know what it is to have Thy Word open to us. And that we might understand the old things and the new things in Thy Word. And that we might be encouraged and that we might be strengthened. And that we might be edified in our most holy faith. And, O God, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as a result of this time together around Thy Word this evening. We pray for the Spirit of God to meet with us. Pray for the presence of God to be our portion tonight. And we pray that Thou wilt do us good. And, Lord, that Thou wilt set our mind upon things above and not in things of this earth. We know that, Lord, there is so much going on around us in these times. So much to take in. Even, Lord, we've been bombarded daily with all the data in relation to health and what's happening in relation to these things. And, oh God, so many people are downcast and depressed by it all. And, Lord, they cannot cope. But we pray that tonight, through Thy Word, they will be strengthened and helped and blessed. And we pray that in days to come, Thou wilt make a way for our land and our nation and this world out of this awful darkness and bring Thy glorious light into the hearts and minds and consciences of men and women and young people. Meet with us tonight, we pray. Grant that Thy Spirit will be poured out upon us, that we'll be helped as we look at Thy Word. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the epistle to the Philippians. And it is this epistle that we come to in our Bible study tonight. Philippians chapter 1 and reading from verse 1. The Word of God says here, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 18, we know that God will bless to us the reading of His precious, infallible, and inerrant Word. Survey of the New Testament takes us to this epistle of Philippians this evening. We read of Paul the Apostle and how he was called in an extraordinary manner to preach the gospel at Philippi. Going back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16 and the verse 9, we read these words, the 16th chapter of Acts and verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And here was Paul's call to preach the gospel at Philippi. And after he had seen the vision, verse 10 tells us of Acts 16, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And the Lord was pleased to use Paul there in this particular region in a remarkable way. You read through Acts chapter 16, you read of the conversion of Lydia. There down by the riverside at that prayer meeting that took place, her heart was opened to the gospel of Christ. You see how God wonderfully dealt with the damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. And of course the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household. These are three incidents illustrating for us the power that attended the ministry of Paul there in the region of Philippi. And so God was pleased to use him there for his glory. Philippi was the first church planted in Europe on Paul's second missionary journey. And after Paul moved on to Thessalonica, the Philippian believers sent him support. Chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 15. We read, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They looked after the servant of God, providing support for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 9, we read these words. Scripture tells us here, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And so Paul here is referring again to the support that was given by the Philippian believers to him as far as his needs were concerned. Discover 5 years later, while on his third missionary journey, Paul visited Philippi on the way to Corinth and then on the return trip. And that's brought before us in the 20th chapter of Acts, verses 1 to 6. And so there was this deep bond, this great love between Paul and the people at Philippi. In fact, we have discovered even in reading this portion of Scripture tonight, if you've looked at it closely as we've read it together, how that there was this bond of love and fellowship between Paul and the church at Philippi to whom he wrote. Certainly, this church gave the apostle little trouble. No wonder he enjoyed fellowshipping with them. There was this harmony of spirit amongst them in the Lord. And what a blessing that is. And as we look at this epistle, we see that one of the key themes in the book is joy. It is mentioned one way or another some 19 times in the 4 chapters of this epistle. Another emphasis is the mind. And as you read through Philippians, you'll note the many times Paul talks about remembering and thinking.
We could summarize the theme of the book as the Christ-like mind that brings the Christian joy. And surely that is so true, that if we have the mind of Christ, and we are following in our lives obedience to Christ, then we will have joy. His joy will fill our hearts and our souls. And in each chapter, Paul describes the kind of mind Christians must have if they are to enjoy Christ's peace and joy. Four minds are suggested. The single mind, which is mentioned in chapter 1, verse 27. He talks there about being of one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Single-mindedness. This was something that was very much a characteristic of the apostle. And he wanted these believers to follow this particular route in their Christian lives, to be single-minded, to have that focus upon Christ, not to digress from Him, not to be shifted from Christ. How vital that is for all of us in our Christian lives, the single mind. But then, secondly, the submissive mind in chapter 2. Look at verse 5 of chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind that was submissive to Christ and to all the teachings of Christ. How vital that is too. And then the spiritual mind, chapter 3, verse 10. We discover the apostle says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And the apostle Paul brings this before us, surely, about the spiritual mind, that he might know Christ in a deeper, in a fuller way. And surely, that's the spiritual mind. And then there's the secure mind, chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Kept secure in our minds by the peace of God. Oh, many people have minds today, even Christian people, minds in turmoil about lots of things that are happening around us in these present times. And they're in turmoil of mind. But thank God He gives His peace. And He brings His peace. Even in the midst of our situation, whatever that situation or whatever those circumstances may be. Of course, we should not conclude that this is the only lesson to be gained from this wonderful epistle. Christ is our life, chapter 1. Christ is our example, chapter 2. Christ is our goal, chapter 3, and Paul said there, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 14. He's our strength, and that is brought out in chapter 4. It's interesting to notice, as we view this epistle and study it, that the word sin is not mentioned. That is not in any way to suggest that these believers were perfect, that they were without sin. But it's interesting to note how these people were seeking to follow the Lord. These people were seeking to follow in obedience to Christ. The only suggestion of sorrow was in chapter 3, verse 18, where Paul weeps over the professed Christians who are worldly minded and thereby dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice what he says there, chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You'll notice as we go through these chapters, in chapter 1, we have the great concern that Paul had, not for himself, despite his circumstances, but for Christ and His gospel. Five times in this chapter, he mentions the gospel. Look at it, please.
just for a moment. Chapter 1, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Look at verse 7. What he says, even as is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Again, verse 12, the same chapter. But I would you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 17, I am sent for the defense of the gospel. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And so there is the emphasis upon the gospel. And Paul had this great focus in his ministry on the gospel. The proclaiming of the good news of salvation to a lost world, and how we need to have that focus in our lives. That wherever we are, wherever God has placed us, that we seek to witness. And that we seek to bear testimony to the gospel. And we discover also in this first chapter that Christ is mentioned 17 times. You see, Christ was central in Paul's ministry. Christ was central in Paul's life. And Christ needs to be central in our lives too. Christ needs to be our all in all. How vital this is. If we are to live as the Lord desires us to live. Chapter 2. How many times in the midst of trying circumstances we lose our joy, and perhaps at this moment in time you've lost your joy. And you're filled with gloom and despondency. And there's a cloud over your life. You've lost your joy. How many times we lose our peace and joy because of what people say or do. Somebody said something to us in the workplace. We lost our joy over that. Somebody in the family said something to us. Or somebody in the church said something to us. And we took the huff at it. And of course, we lose our peace and joy as a result. The best remedy for these trials is the submissive mind. A mind that is submissive to Christ. The humble mind. Humbling ourselves before God. Having that lowliness of mind. And also, that mind that seeks to honor Christ. Chapter 2. And then chapter 3, too many Christians get caught up in things and lose their joy and peace that they ought to have in Christ. You see, they mind earthly things. We've mentioned that verse already and quoted from it. Chapter 3, verse 19. Those who mind earthly things, their attention, that is their focus. How many times the word things is mentioned in this chapter? Things. And how often things come into our lives and draw us away to the world, draw us away from Christ, draw us away from our focus upon Him. Here Paul describes the spiritual mind in this chapter, how we need that mind, spiritual mind. Set your affection, said Paul in Colossians, on things above, not on things of this earth. Your mind or your affection, your thoughts. See Paul there and what he wrote in Romans chapter 8 about the spiritual mind, verses 1 to 17. You can read it for yourself. It talks there about they that are after the flesh, verse 5 of Romans 8, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Talks about the carnal mind being enmity against God, verse 7. For in the flesh we cannot please God.
how we need to be those who do not live after the flesh, but those who are living by the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of the body. May the Lord help us to be drawn into the spiritual mind, not the carnal mind. It's at enmity at variance with God, but the spiritual mind, following in obedience and submissiveness to the Lord and to His Word. May the Lord lead us in that path. And then chapter 4, how many believers lose their joy and peace because of worry? People are terribly afflicted by worry. And so many people, even people you wouldn't think had any worries, are filled with worry, filled with anxiety. Of course, the child of God who does not have a single mind and a submissive mind and a spiritual mind never can have a secure mind. How we need to be brought to that point where we follow this particular plan, single-mindedness, submissiveness, spiritual-mindedness, in order that we may have a secure mind. We must first live what the apostle describes in the first three chapters of this epistle before we can claim the promises and provisions of this final chapter. You see, there's a linkage here. There's a clear structure and order. May the Lord lead us through these chapters. May the Lord bring us to the point where we have this secure mind. We're delivered from worry, the cares that so settle upon us. May the Lord help us be brought to this point as we follow His Word and as the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts. Think about the chapter summaries here of this epistle, a verse, maybe a sentence that will summarize for you a particular chapter which will help you in the study of the epistle, as we have suggested through these studies in the various books of the New Testament. It will help you to recollect the truths that are taught in that chapter so that you'll be able to follow it through in the study of the epistle. The key verse for me is chapter 3, verse 10. What a verse it is. "That I may know Him," said Paul, "and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." For you it may be another verse or a couple of verses, but whatever it is, you will find that in all of this epistle, Paul's focus was on Christ. His foundation was Christ. Christ was everything to him. Christ was all to him in all that he said and all that he did. Is Christ all in all to you? Is Christ central in your life? Is Christ your focus every day? When you get up in the morning, before you go out, in your home, in your work life, in your college life, or wherever you are in this world, that Christ might be at the center today and every day, that He might be seen in everything we are involved in. People might not see us, but they might see Jesus. Oh, may it be so. It was so with Paul here. It was so in this epistle. May it be so with us, for the glory of His great name. Let us bow in prayer, and let us then, after we pray, continue in prayer in our homes and remember the work of God. And as we resume worship in the church, and do pray that God will protect us all and give us times of blessing that we have never known before, and times of refreshing
and the hand of God. Let us engage in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this time around Thy Word this evening. We thank You for the precious Word of God. What a blessing it is. And as we've just scratched the surface of this epistle, Lord, we thank Thee for Christ being so central in it, in all that Paul taught and all that he did. We thank You for these believers at Philippi that were such an encouragement to the apostle and such a help to him in so many ways, not only spiritually but practically. And oh God, we pray that Thou wilt help us to learn the lessons the Holy Spirit would teach us from this epistle. And Father, we pray for Thy work, that Thou wilt lead us forward in it in these times. We know that it's been a stop and start and stop again sort of year with all that has been happening. But Lord, Thou art in control of all things. Thank You for those that have been reached with the gospel. Whether it was at the drive-in services or through the online services or through the services when we got back into church in the recent months. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt continue to bless us as we, in the will of God, meet again in Thy house this coming Lord's Day. Give us help in the preaching of Thy Word. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt anoint us as never before, that we might preach as a dying man to dying sinners, that men and women in this very place will come to Christ, that this village will be moved upon by the Spirit of God, this whole area in which Thou hast placed us will be moved upon by Thy Spirit. Our families will be saved. Lord, those that we're in contact with in the course of life will be saved. Lord, we pray for a move of God in Ulster such as has never been known before. A move in this island and this nation as has never been known before and across the world. We pray for a worldwide revival. Begin it in our hearts tonight. Lead us out in prayer. Prayer for our families. Prayer for revival. And prayer, O God, for our government and for this pandemic and for people that are suffering through it and suffering from other illnesses and for this vaccine or these vaccines that they may be used even to help many people in days to come. Oh, we thank Thee for all the answers to prayer You've given. Continue to answer prayer for our families. Thank You for the little one You've given, Lord, to Natasha and Deal. Bless that little family. Encourage them and all families in our church and individuals too. We pray that even ere this year ends, that many who are unsaved will be gathered into Thy kingdom. Lead us out in believing prayer now. Teach us, Lord, to pray and not to faint. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.